I'm Ava Hartling. Welcome back to the Brand is Female podcast. This season of our podcast is brought to you by TD Bank Group Women in Enterprise. TD helps women in business achieve success and growth through its program of educational workshops, financing, and mentorship. Visit thebrandisfemale.com/podcast and follow the link to find out how TD can help you. My guest for this episode is Annick Beaulieu, CEO of C2 Montreal, an immersive annual three-day experience that attracts more than 5,000 participants from over 60 countries and 30 industries. C2 is an internationally renowned forum for entrepreneurship, innovation, and creativity. And the 13th edition of the conference is taking place in just a few days, where more than 100 experts from around the world are joining over 40 conferences, labs, and coaching sessions. At C2 Montreal, Annick and her team orchestrate transformative conversations that have a lasting impact well beyond the event itself. With her background in entrepreneurship, Annick brings a wealth of experience to her role. She's forged meaningful and lasting partnerships with global industry leaders, and she's responsible for elevating C2 Montreal's profile on the international stage. Annick's also heavily involved with the Montreal business and entrepreneurship community, advocating for innovation and serving on the board of directors for Zoo, an incubator for creative entrepreneurs founded by Cirque du Soleil's Guy Laliberté. This podcast episode is presented by The Chain, a remarkable memoir written by Chimène Solomon. Join Chimène as she exposes a devastating truth of her relationship with a deceitful partner through her captivating storytelling, as she shines a light on the harmful effects of misogyny and the uplifting strength of sisterhood. I had a chance to read the book and was taken aback by its profound insights. This is a must-read for anyone who's been gaslit or coerced into disbelieving their own instincts. The Chain is Indigo's nonfiction staff pick of the month for May. Pick up your copy in store or online at indigo.ca. Hi, Annick. It's a pleasure having you on The Brand is Female. Thank you so much for making time to speak with me today.
Hi, Eva. Thank you so much for having me.
I like to start these conversations by getting to the origin story of my guest's professional journey. So I like to go down memory lane with you and ask you, when you were growing up, what kind of career did you picture yourself doing later in life? And did it end up being connected at all to what you're actually doing today?
Well, it is connected, but I went a different route. So I wanted to be a champion, a ski champion.
Oh,
nice. I've also wanted to be a contortionist after seeing my first Cirque du Soleil show when I was like 5 or 6. And strangely, obviously, skiing really influenced a lot of, I think, my mindset and the way I approach things. I think there are so many valuable lessons that you get from competitive sports. That being said, I did not end up, you know, being a world champion in ski. And I now work for a company that was co-founded by Cirque du Soleil. So I am not an artist in the shows, but
yeah, there's a link. There's definitely a connection.
And it's funny because when I saw that, when you asked the question, I was like, oh my God, I had never actually kind of connected the dots. Mm. And so here I am working in creativity and, you know, being close to that ecosystem, I guess.
And tell me a little bit about your, you know, professional journey before, and we're going to get into all the amazing work you do at C2, but what did you study in school? Where did that lead you in terms of your first professional job?
So I studied marketing and economics at HSC, and then I went on to work for the family business in real estate. And strangely, I think what was great about that is that I was trusted with responsibilities from a very young age. And I think that's true for most people that are evolving in family businesses, but also really kind of was exposed to the reality of entrepreneurship from a young age. And even if today I'm not necessarily an entrepreneur, I think that mindset, you know, of taking risks and committing and really pushing the envelope has kind of been ingrained in me from a really young age. And when you look at real estate and you look at the actual world that I'm in right now, which is, you know, creating brand experiences, there's actually a lot of similarities in the way you run projects. So both industries are really project driven. And it's also about commercializing creativity, right? If you're working in development, like real estate development, you'll work with architects and designers, and you'll want to create that vision, that creative product that you will then be able to commercialize. There's the whole investment angle as well. And so when you look at creating experiences for brand, it's very similar in that context, right? It's about creating worlds and, you know, having creative visions and then putting them to profit so that, you know, the brand actually connects more with their audience. So there's, you know, there's similarities, even if they seem kind of disconnected in a way.
Mm-hmm. And you've mentioned, you know, growing up with entrepreneurs around you, you joined a family business for a while. Who were role models at that time? And, you know, it sounds like you had, you know, business owners right there in your family. But who was a source of inspiration when you started your career?
Well, that's a good question. I think the sources of inspirations for me are multiple. Like, you know, you can have great artists that will inspire you when you look at, you know, what they're giving to the audience and how, you know, they're building businesses these days. And then there can be one leader. Like, I remember reading Satya Nadella's Growth Mindset book, and I was like, wow, this is just great, you know? So I don't think I ever had one specific person that was an inspiration, but I think I'm probably being inspired every day. And then when I started working with C2 and when I looked at Jean-François Bouchard and everything he had built at Sidley, and then, you know, how he had built C2, that was definitely an inspiration for me. And being surrounded by so many amazing creatives as well and business people every day with the job that I'm doing at C2 and C2 Montreal right now definitely leads to inspiration. I remember seeing Isabelle Hudon, you know, on our stage at some point, and I was like, wow, this woman is fearless. You know, she's going at it in a really traditional industry, and I can really relate to, you know, probably some of the struggles she's facing, but how she's choosing to approach them. And so that was very inspirational for me as well.
Yeah, Isabelle is such a powerhouse. We had her on the podcast recently. And you've, it's interesting how you've built your career. And I think even if you, you know, went to work for corporations as opposed to starting your own business, you've had a very entrepreneurial approach to your career journey. So I want to talk about that, because you've been at C2 for several years now, and you came in a sales role. What attracted you to the organization when you first joined? And obviously we know C2 as, you know, this amazing meeting of the minds with high profile speakers that come from around the world. And it's so wonderful to have such an event here in Montreal. So what was the interest for you in joining the organization? And tell me a little bit about your rise up the ranks within the organization all the way to becoming CEO today.
Yeah, so that was interesting, because I was coming out of the, you know, family business experience, and I was kind of excited to join a bigger family and, you know, to, well, not a family, but like a larger organization, and just, you know, expand, I guess, my knowledge and my relationships. And I was really hungry for that at that point. And it was really hard to find the right fit, because when you're an entrepreneur, I feel you're a bit of a generalist. You know, it's about driving things forward. It's about, you know, leadership, but it's not necessarily about being an expert in digital marketing or, you know, an accountant. And so finding the right fit within the corporate world, I found, was really hard. And I was at a point where I was like, look, I'm just going to set the reset button. I'll take a bit of time to kind of rebrand myself, reposition myself. And then I started thinking, you know, what do I need to, like, what do I really want? What's important to me? And I, you know, I knew that I needed a place that was going to allow me to express this mindset of entrepreneurial, like entrepreneurship, if you want. So it had to be a business that was growing. I wanted a business that had global scale. I've been doing, you know, work internationally since I was really young. So for me, that aspect of like being not confined to a geography and having the possibility of working all over the world and having a world-class product was really important for me. And that notion of being proud of what you do and kind of liking the product itself as well was important. And so I had someone I knew that worked at C2 at the time, and they were like, do you want to just come over and help us kind of, you know, benchmark what we're doing in terms of partnerships and whatnot? And And so I was like, that's great. You know, let's go. I'm going to meet people. Maybe I'll find the job there. Who knows? So when I gave the report of my observations at the time, they just offered me the role in sales. And to me, sales are probably the most entrepreneurial position within a business because you're working at the top line, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's also, you know, it's a great intersection between being out there commercially, then marketing, then products. So that I felt was such a great challenge. And it was also at the moment where the company was starting its global expansion. So I knew that, you know, if my career trajectory could actually be linked to the business growth trajectory. And so I just felt like I had opportunity to grow within the business, which is essentially what happened, you know, and I've had the chance to work with people that were really open-minded, I guess, that gave me latitude. I brought in results. And yeah, I mean, the journey has been one that's really rich, not easy, but rich.
I love hearing that. And one of the things you've done as well is joined the board of Zoo. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, which is a big part of connected to C2, but in support of startups, in support of entrepreneurship. So tell me a little bit about the work that you do through Zoo and what was the mindset and the goal in the organization, getting that off the ground, because I know supporting entrepreneurs has been part of C2's mandate since its early days. So it seems like this is just an extension of this mandate.
Yeah, I guess, you know, at Zoo, it's, Zoo was actually founded by Guy La Liberté. So it's an incubator that really wants to help and create growth opportunities for startups that are in the creative field. So probably the intersection of like creativity and technology. Mm-hmm. And so it's very much linked in many ways to what we do at C2 and our mission. You know, the event C2 Montreal was born in 2011, right after the crisis had hit, you know, the major 2008 financial crisis. And the idea was really to provide the local business and creative community with exportation vehicle that was as creative or that was representative of the way we do business in Montreal and the sectors that are growing and, you know, really contributing to our GDP, but also to our brand, I would say, as a city, as a province. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you look at that mission, the vehicle is only as rich as who's partaking in the initiative and the community that's propelling. Like when we talk about C2 Montreal, it's definitely it's an OBNL, right? So it's a non-for-profit. And so the community, the entrepreneurs that are part of it, the businesses that choose to activate in it, you know, the people we put on our stage and the business that's being done during the event is strongly propelled by the entrepreneurs that are, you know, the makeup of business in the city, mm-hmm, if you want. Mm-hmm.
And would you recall one of your favorite moments? You've been at C2 for many years. Is there a specific speaker, a conference, a presentation that, you know, comes up when you think of highlights of previous editions, something that really spoke to you in terms of somebody on stage or a certain presentation, a certain topic that was discussed? What were the highlights for you?
Oh my God, there's probably many highlights for me. I think we're at our best when we bring a conversation that's unexpected. So for sure, we've had big stars on the stage and there's a portion of us, you know, that's starstruck sometimes or that's been following someone for so many years, you know, that we're very excited to see. But I think the magic of C2 lies in decoration and finding the people that are maybe less obvious and setting conversations that will kind of be at the perfect intersection of culture, business, and almost, you know, raising some societal challenge that we're facing. And if I'm thinking like last year, we had a conversation between Yoshua Benjou and Yuval Harari around, you know, the future of humanity at a time where AI was top of mind for everybody. You know, the next OpenAI had just launched ChatGPT and it was everywhere. And this to me is really C2 at its best in the sense that everybody in the audience felt really engaged in that dialogue because they were personally involved in the outcomes. And so it's about business, but it's about more than business. Mm-hmm. It's about how things will evolve in the future. And it raises like very important concerns. So I think this is really a good C2 conversation. But I also remember at some point we had launched with Meta, that was a partner, the Insta School. And so at a time where stories were really, because this is also the brand is female, right? So it's about marketing. And I remember, you know, we had this workshop where we had a bunch of VP marketings and CMOs in the room. And it was about, you know, how do we break the barrier for brands to create content that's more authentic, you know, that will be relatable in a way that's superhuman. And so we had a, you know, probably around 40 marketers in the room creating stories for themselves and learning from some of the creators at Meta how they could be leveraged for their brands. And so that's also very powerful because it's hands-on, you know, it's super practical, but it was also something new that was emerging. And so that was something that, you know, I remember having such great feedback on.
Love that. And I can imagine that you've had so many great highlights to pick from. There's also been a focus over the years, and I feel like C2 was a platform that early on committed to supporting and reflecting diversity and inclusion. You've always had, you know, women speakers, women presenters as part of the programming. And I don't know if this was intentional in the early days, but it seemed like diversity has been part of your MO for a long time. So tell me a little bit about that commitment to making sure there's a diversity of voices, you know, reflected in the event programming. And I'm curious to know as well how you source and how you make decisions about who's going to be part of the lineup. And again, ensuring that this diversity gets reflected.
That's one topic I love. But yeah, I think we really were pioneers in, you know, making sure that we had different voices on stage. And we've been doing it for as long as I can remember. And, you know, funny fact is C2 is female a lot, like a lot of the leadership is, and a lot of the creative, like 3 out of 4 creative directors are women. And I think that reflects in the way we look and approach programming and also creative. And so, you know, for us, we have very specific targets that we need to reach, like 50-50 in terms of female and men is very important. And it's translated into a 50% female audience at the event. And that's really interesting because when you look at, you know, what you do program on stage and how it represents, you know, what we feel is the future and the present of business, right? Like, it's not like women are a minority out there. Like, we're 1% of the population.
Yeah.
And we aspire to bring diverse voices because we think that that makes for stronger decisions, stronger and more resilient economy and businesses. And the impact it actually had on the DNA of the audience of the event is very interesting. It means that, you know, women feel included, comfortable, welcome. And that to me is really the reflection of like success in a way. And then when we look at sourcing speakers, oh my God, I mean, it would be so much easier if we didn't have these targets because the number of emails and reach outs we get, you know, from a specific type of people and, you know, women, I think naturally sometimes are humble or, you know, we'll reach out and we'll be like, hey, we'd love for you to contribute on X, Y, and Z panel or session or host a masterclass because we admire the work you do. And, you know, when we looked at the way we would program this year and the topics and whatever, like you fit right into the message that we want to create. And oftentimes we'll get like, oh, really? Like, you know, I don't know. Are you sure? And for us, it's like, yes, you know, like we we really want you there. And I think it's important because it's also going back to what I was saying around, you know, what is C2 at its best? And C2 at its best is a representation of what's being done out there that's inspiring. And that does not belong to one type of individual. And so, you know, I just truly believe that, you know, when we start looking at programming, you know, the programming team will drive, will design an architecture, will establish what are the topics that we want to highlight, and then who are the best contributors to these topics. Mm-hmm. And we're in a good position right now where, you know, there's a lot of women out there that are in the business community, in the artistic community, in the technology community. And I think that by giving more voice, like to me, this is one of the things that I'm proud of in terms of what we do at C2 is that, you know, we can have an influence on how people actually see success. Like if you're in the audience and you see that there's a lot of women out there, a lot of a diversity, people from various communities and, you know, social backgrounds and whatever, like you'll actually believe that this is something you can achieve as well. And so, you know, we've been really adamant on making sure that we not just maintain the status quo, but that we evolve ourselves in bringing these diverse voices to the forefront.
Mm. And it's so important. And I commend you for doing that because, again, you've been doing it for many years. And, you know, we can tell in terms of the lineup of speakers that you bring in every year that it's been carefully curated. And you always have your finger on the pulse of current events and trends in both the business world and, you know, with larger societal topics.
This season of The Brand is Female is made possible with the support of TD Women in Enterprise. And they're about confidently building you. As a woman entrepreneur myself, I know I need all the support I can get. It takes sound advice plus guidance to the right connections, tools, and resources. What's great about TD Services for Women in Business is their collaborative approach. TD can facilitate and connect you to workshops, coaching, and mentorship, and to engage other like-minded business leaders in an authentic way, so we can share experiences and learn from each other. TD Women in Enterprise has banking specialists who are able to be proactive in the advice and guidance they give to women in business. Embark on an unforgettable journey through love, betrayal, and sisterhood in The Chain by Chimène Solomon, a gripping memoir that digs deep into the aftermath of persistent misogyny as Chimène bravely recounts her personal journey through powerful storytelling while challenging societal norms and celebrating the power of female solidarity. New York Times bestselling author Maggie Smith describes The Chain as a formidable book, a triumph of mind, body, and spirit. The Chain happens to be Indigo's nonfiction staff pick of the month for May. Pick up your copy in store or online at indigo.ca.
What's your goal in terms of what entrepreneurs specifically, or really anyone that, you know, evolves in the business world, gets out of the C2 experience? And I'm asking from the lens, again, of, you know, women probably having a different experience than men. And you and I have had this conversation before about women who basically network differently than men, right? We're more intentional. We generally allow a little less time in our calendar on a weekly basis for networking. We're busy with, you know, 1,000 other things. So we select very carefully the opportunities that we'll take to network and build community. And I know this is something that you've made sure was a point of the C2 experience, is allowing for guests and visitors to be able to establish, you know, networks, create communities, engage with each other, and not just show up and attend a presentation. So is that something that you keep in mind when you're, you know, designing the experience for someone, and especially women who are going to attend C2?
Absolutely. I mean, for us, you know, a lot of the focus is how do we create opportunities for our audience to connect faster, more meaningfully. And so everything we do in terms of collaborative sessions, the labs, you know, where the environments are highly metaphorical for the topics we're trying to explore, the technology we use to facilitate networking, this is all done so that we break the barriers that would usually be in place to allow you to connect with the humans that are surrounding you. And so, you know, everyone's not a power networker. Some of us are, and it's great.
Yeah.
But there are introverts, or there are people that might not be as comfortable in social settings or in larger groups. And so for us, it's like, how do we create an experience that will allow for different kind of profiles and people to actually connect, but connect meaningfully? Then that's why we think like investing in creativity and design actually matters, because then the outcome is bigger. Mm. Like, two businesses don't make business together. Two humans do. So how do we get humans to discover quicker, you know, that they have similar values?
So true.
That, you know, one might have complementary skills than the other. One might have a service or a solution to a commercial problem that the other person has. Like, they might connect because they both have a deep love for cats. I don't know. But all these things will actually allow you to go one step deeper in the relationship and in the conversation, and break down those boundaries that are there and that might keep you from a beautiful partnership, collaboration, friendship, mentorship. And so by providing a very inclusive environment based on the different types of profiles of individuals that we might have. We really believe that, you know, beautiful stories are emerging from an event like C2 and from the other experiences we're designing for partners all over the world.
Yeah, and that's great to hear. In this year's lineup, is there one, maybe it's more than one speakers, presenters that you're especially excited about or specific conversations that you're especially excited about hearing?
There are many. There's one that's You Should Be Strange with people from the NASA.
No.
This is about, you know, what could unfold from allowing yourself to be strange and to maybe get out of your usual mindset.
Love that.
Then there's, you know, the rise of new business models. So we're storytellers, right? You and I. Like, what are the new vehicles? What are the new formats that will drive these stories in the future? So that's one that's very interesting. Then we have one that's around experiential retail and fashion marketing. Like, obviously, fashion has been really kind of pushing the envelope in terms of experiential and way to commercialize for a long time. And then, you know, I mean, look, there's just so many. We have people coming from Amazon Music and Ad Age and Essence Venture to talk about the fire behind the fandom. And so there's really great conversations that will unfold over the course of the 3 days. And, you know, one change that we did this year was around, I would say, reorganizing the way we program so that it caters to specific industries without losing that beautiful C2 magic of like the intersection and interesting topics. But we have 3 days this year with three different types mm-hmm. of industry focus. So one of them is experiential and immersive technology. The other one is sustainable innovation. And the other one is the intersection of AI and commerce. And obviously, you know, exploring how they blend in one into another. But when you look at it, it's three topics where we are actually really strong in terms of firepower. There's a lot of businesses in the city and in the province and even in the country that are, you know, leaders in these fields. Mm-hmm. And so it's beautiful to see how we're kind of putting together this global dialogue around these three industries and subject.
Well, very excited to hear all of these, and you're covering so many, you know, key topics that are so relevant in the conversations that are happening right now in business and in general. I'd like to close by asking you, you're a power networker, you know, you've been interacting with some of the most interesting minds around the planet for years. You're a woman in business, and this has been part of your journey working alongside entrepreneurs and other leaders in business. What would be your top three pieces of advice for women who are looking to build and expand their community and their network?
That's a good one. I think one of them is to really be or project confidence. We often think we're not enough, and me included. But I think telling yourself, no, I'm going out mm-hmm. there. I have something to bring to the table. I'm taking my place. You know, I have something interesting to say would definitely be one of them. Then I think being mindful too and being very authentic. I think sometimes, you know, when we're vocal about vulnerabilities, it can help overcome them and build stronger mm-hmm. bonds with people. Because I think, you know, we all project a certain aura. You know, we can easily seem like we're on top of it all or whatever. But I think that, you know, when we're being transparent and honest about some of the struggles we might be facing or a reality that we are composing with professionally or personally, it often leads to relationships that will be deeper. And people want to help their friends. People want to be there for people that are endearing to them and that, you know, they feel connected with. So this to me is something that's important in building the relationships. Even if it's about business, it's actually about the individual. And so letting a little piece of yourself out there, in my opinion, builds stronger bonds in a way. And then I think it's just the sheer volume of it, you know, just being out there, like just putting yourself out there. And you know, we've had this conversation. We've all lived the COVID, which was not very good for networking.
It marked our lives.
Mm-hmm. It marks our lives. And then I was pregnant, had a baby, mat leave, and I really felt disconnected. You know, I lost, at some point I was doing anxiety if we were going out for dinner, because I was like, what do I have to say? Mm-hmm. You know, I've been at home for weeks nurturing a baby. I'm tired. I look like crap. like, and I'm going to go out there while people are just living their fast paced life, you know? And I think it puts you in a situation sometimes where you can go back to what's comfortable for you. And, you know, when we talked, I was like, I need to get back out there, you know, and just go to that cocktail and just go to that gala dinner and just take the habit of being out there and putting it on your agenda. I mean, I couldn't stress enough how just doing it, even if you're tired a bit, even if, you know, this might not be ultimately what you would do if you had the choice to do it tonight. Like, usually you go out there and it's rare that you'll come back and you'll be like, oh, shoot, you know, I should have not been. So, yeah, volume, vulnerability, and kind of exposing your personality and your own reality. And then, you know, being confident and believing that you should be worthy of attention.
And I love that last one, especially you brought this up earlier in the conversation, and you and I have had this conversation where you see the difference, you know, complete dichotomy between how men will be very confident, you know, about their skills and leadership and expertise, and they'll be pitching you to be a speaker at C2. And then you have high ranked, you know, women executives or women doing phenomenal things in the business world, and you have to convince them that they should be a speaker. So I thought that was such a good illustration of how, you know, it doesn't come as organically for women to be putting ourselves out there in general. And I think it's something all women can draw inspiration from. So thank you so much for sharing all of your insights. I'm very excited about C2 this year. We'll share all the links. And for our listeners who can't be there, there's a lot of amazing content that is shared on your website and platforms, including social media, so they can stay up to date with everything that's happening at the conference. Thank you again, Annick, and wishing you an amazing 2024 edition of C2 this year.
Thank you so much for having me, Eva, and I can't wait to see you there.
Thank you so much for listening to the Brandis Female Podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you to TD Women and Enterprise for their support of the Brandis Female. You've got it in you to succeed. Let TD help guide you. Visit thebrandisfemale.com to learn more.